old-fashioned soda.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. I am lucky enough to live and work near the lakefront in Kenosha, so I often drive on Sheridan Road during the day. And when I do, it is not uncommon to see a group of Harborside Academy students and their teachers heading out into the community or toward the lake. What are they doing out there, and why so often? These local field trips are part of the philosophy of teaching and learning that permeates Harborside Academy and everything they do. Called expeditionary learning, this philosophy culminates in senior projects that vary from traveling to Malawi to work with orphan children, to traveling to Nicaragua to purify drinking water for residents, to building Habitat for Humanity homes in Nashville, Tennessee. The Harborside seniors have just returned from Senior Week, and we have a few here to tell us about their projects and about Harborside and the expeditionary learning philosophy. Our first guest is Harborside Academy Assistant Principal Trent Barnhart, who just became assistant principal in January, mm-hmm. but has been a teacher of math at Harborside for 6.5 years.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for hello. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay. And then our student guests are Cordell Sulamoyo. Did I say that correctly?
Yep.
Who just got back from Malawi in East Africa, where his father grew up. He brought donations to the village where his father grew up and spent the week working to help the people there. Cordell will be attending Wisconsin Lutheran College next year, where he will major in marketing and minor in graphic design. Cordell will also play soccer at Wisconsin Lutheran.
Yep, it's great to be here.
Thanks. Thanks for coming. Kimmy Lintz was part of a group senior project with 15 other seniors who traveled to Nicaragua with members of Wisconsin Water for the World. The team in Nicaragua worked to develop water storage tanks in order to help improve sustainable water access to people on the island of Ometepe, thank you. And Kimmy will be attending Berry College in Georgia next year, where she plans to double major in pre-veterinary medicine and biology.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It was an incredible trip.
Oh, good. Well, we're going to hear more about it in a minute. I have one more guest, and that is Natalie Pitts. She was part of a group senior project where she traveled with a group of 30 students to Nashville, Tennessee, where they worked with Habitat for Humanity. And I assume you were building houses there, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, we were.
Natalie will actually be attending Carthage College and plans to major in music.
Hello, it's good to be here.
Okay, well, I am very excited. I actually want to start with Cordell because you must have gotten the distance award, right? Were you the furthest? Was that the farthest trip?
At least for this year, yeah.
For this year, okay. So, Cordell, please, you just returned from Malawi, which is in East Africa. Can you tell us a little about your trip? What did you plan to do? How did it turn out? What kind of things did you learn while you were there?
So I had planned on going back eventually beforehand, before coming to Harborside. I've been there twice before, visiting family with my father. And then last time I was there in 2010, I saw kids going around. They were playing with plastic bag balls that are wound together with string and plastic bags. And I thought, why don't they have real soccer balls? So I wanted to make it a mission sometime in the future just to bring some real soccer balls over, whether it be a few or 50, or I didn't know how many I was going to bring over. I just wanted to change some out with some real soccer balls. So I got the opportunity to do that with Harborside, with the whole senior project, going out and making a difference. So I took it as an opportunity to go out and use that to bring soccer balls to the kids over there who don't really have anything. So I went out on my trip over spring break this last year. It was a 15-hour flight. went with my father, so it was just him and I. And we stayed at my grandparents' house because they live over there. So we resided there. And we brought with us 50 soccer balls to go to 5 different orphanages.
50? Like 50?
Yeah, 50.
Wow.
Yeah,
how did you physically bring those? Were they deflated?
They were deflated. Okay. We managed to fit them all in our suitcases, our checked luggage.
Wow.
Yeah, we brought 50 soccer balls and then 2 goals and then some baby clothes as well for the smaller orphans.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, I wasn't sure if I was going to go to orphanages or schools or just go around and hand random people off the street soccer balls. But through my grandparents' church, they suggested the idea of going to different orphanages that they had connections to. So that's what we did. We took the orphanage, went to the different orphanages, gave them out soccer balls, and they were so appreciative. All the kids were just smiling. They had smiles on their faces. Some of them understood what I was saying. Others, they had to translate, but they just had a blast seeing the soccer balls, being able to play with them, because they have so much talent over there. They just don't have the resources to play the game that's all over the world. So we went to 5 different orphanages, met thousands of different kids. Actually, at one of them, we went to Home of Hope in Machinji in Malawi, which is actually where Madonna adopted her first son.
Oh, wow.
I got to go there, and we donated the soccer balls. And I actually got to name 2 children after me.
Really?
For next time I go back over there. So,
That's amazing.
Pretty incredible.
So you may have planted the seeds for, you know, some pro soccer players. That's not uncommon in Africa at all, is it?
No.
So, wow. Or at least just a lot of fun in the meantime. Wow, that's terrific. Well, I'm going to have a few questions for you about it later, but I want to hear about the other 2 trips first. So we're going to go to Kimmy. Tell us, you were in Nicaragua. You know, what was your project? How did it turn out? What did you learn?
So in Harborside Academy, we actually spend 6 months in this one expedition focused just on the scarcity of water. So that's where an expedition is where all of our core classes, so math, English, science, we're all learning about how water scarcity is affecting the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was our sophomore year, and so that really kind of intrigued me when I learned about that. And then our senior year, these Carthage professors approached Mr. Barnhart, Mr. H, and asked if there's a group of students who would like to come along with them down to Ometepe in Nicaragua. And obviously I was so excited, so I signed up right away, and we did tons of preparation and fundraising. And by the time we got there, it was very, very shocking and very moving what we saw, because Ometepe is actually one of the world's largest freshwater islands in the middle of Nicaragua. But all the water there is absolutely undrinkable. It's brown, about like it's the color of dirt, you know. It's so toxic there. And also the island on Ometepe, since it's so big, only the people who live on the shore have access to water. There are absolutely no drains, no pipes, nothing to bring water into the center of the island. All there is every once in a while the government will turn on wells, turn on water hoses. And so when we ask people there, like, okay, so when do you get water? They say, when the water's on. So that was just very shocking to me, how you don't have access to water at all times. So our goal with John, who is a professor at Carthage, was to build some type of sustainable water tanks there. So through completely slow, tedious work, we mixed, you know, hand-mixed cement, we bent rebar, which is a very thick metal, we tied everything, and we built these bird cages, which will eventually become water tanks in Nicaragua, with cement and plaster and lots of metal. So that was just incredible. And where we stayed at a finca, which means like a project type of place to work at, a field station. And when we were there, there was lots of native and local women actually there helping us. And what really shocked me is how they were called rescued women, because they were rescued from poverty. And it was just, the project was amazing, but what was even more amazing to me was getting into the culture of these women. And they brought their children there and let me teach some of the children English and play with them, and just to leave and then to be crying, you know, to say goodbye to these amazing women who have absolutely nothing and yet gave me so much was just, it was really life-changing. It was really amazing.
Do you feel different when you turn on your water tap at home?
Completely, yeah, completely. And just turning on the water and being able to put it on my face and mm-hmm. drink it, because there, even when you have water on, since we're not accustomed to the water because it's so toxic, and Ometepe, if you even got some water in your mouth, like brushing your teeth, you'd be puking for days afterwards. It's toxic there.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, Natalie, you did not get
you
to...
You should have started with
right,
me.
Right, I guess so. Maybe. So not everyone can go abroad, but obviously there is plenty of work to be done here in the United States. Mm. So tell us about your trip. How did it turn out? What did you learn?
Yeah, so I didn't get to go abroad, but for the past few years, Harborside has taken these trips to work with Habitat for Humanity. And so this year we went to Nashville, Tennessee in vans. We all drove down, myself and about 30 other students, where each day I was expecting to work on one house. However, they had five different families that they were building houses for. So we were at a different site each day. And I think the most important thing I learned was how important it is to have a positive attitude. Because going there, we knew what we were getting ourselves into. We were there to work. It wasn't for fun. But we still managed to have a lot of fun because we all had positive attitudes. And we just had a great time. And so I was expecting to pull up to a house that wasn't finished. However, the first site we went to, it was a completely finished house, but we just worked on the landscaping for them, and then we installed cabinets and other things to make the house more livable. Then the next day, we went to another site where the house was not finished at all, and so we had to learn how to use power tools, which was kind of cool. It was the first time I've ever used a power tool. And we put up siding, and I got to use a hammer, and we got dirty, and it was a great experience for everyone. We had a great time. And
great. Well, that's quite a variety of projects. So now I have a question for Mr. Barnhart. You know, what other things have your seniors been doing? This was all last week, right? They were all gone?
Correct. Mm-hmm. So towards the end of our semester, our seniors have a week-long time where they work on these senior projects. They actually plan their projects out their junior year and kind of submit a proposal to us. And then through that, they work to fundraise or organize what it is they want to do throughout the week of senior projects. And you can tell by the three that are here, the students do great work outside of our community, but we also just stress the aspect of what can you do within our community now. So, you know, we have students that go abroad. We have students that travel across the nation for things like Habitat for Humanity. But we also have students that just do things right here in our community. We have students that work in soup kitchens or help out in homeless shelters or raise money for homeless people to provide them clothes that they might need or just go around in our community and clean up the parks so that they're well maintained and so the community members can enjoy the things that are around there or fix things up. We had students all of our students at Harborside are Venture Scouts, so we go and we stay at Boy Scout camps in the mm-hmm. fall. And so a group of our students went to one of those Boy Scout camps and built park benches for them and cleaned up the park cleaned up their campground for them and those types of things. And so they just look within and really it all comes from our students. The teachers potentially provide them opportunities like the Habitat for Humanity, but a lot of times it comes from the students and they look for the issues that are out there and then they act on those things and they're really passionate about those projects and helping out the people that are around them in the town or the cities that they live in. And it turns out to be just a great week for our students.
So how many seniors are there this year?
So we have about 115 at every grade level. Mm-hmm. So we had 115 students all doing different things. You know, about half of them were out on these trips and the other half were just here in Kenosha working on their own projects, helping out senior citizens or things like that. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So I know this is all sort of part of a much bigger enterprise, which is called Expeditionary Learning.
Correct.
Kimmy kind of described that, talking about the expedition that you had sophomore year. So I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about this philosophy and sort of how it plays out over the years as students are at Harborside.
Yeah, so the expeditionary model kind of encompasses around three pillars of achievement. Focuses on achievement itself, the academic side of things, really producing high-quality work, and then building this character base, this kind of these soft skills that with students. And so all of that is kind of encircled around those three things. On the academic side of things, we have things that are called expeditions, these kind of themed-based academics around a certain topic. Like Kimmy said, one was about water. And so their sophomore year, for an entire semester, they learn about water in all of their classes. And so they're going around. So they just get a deeper understanding of these concepts, these really engaging topics that we think students were really attached to, and find that cause to help. And so everything is modeled around those things. But throughout that, we're teaching students to care about their community, care about the issues that are out there, just give back. There's a big service component in EL, and so this is part of that service component. We provide a lot of service for them as they come through Harborside, but when they finish Harborside, we want them to then say, what can I do? And so that's kind of their kind of last hurrah in terms of giving back to their community.
And so the senior project, you said they start planning as juniors.
Correct.
And they know that they're going to have this week to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything else that you can tell me about the senior project that people would need to know?
So when Harborside students come in, they have what's called an ELB account. And what that is basically almost like their fundraiser account.
Mm-hmm.
So we provide all different fundraisers for our students, you know, pie sales or whatever it might be. That part of that profit goes towards their account. And that money kind of compiles up for things like their senior project week. So so students that really get into that fundraiser kind of accumulate this account and then can do these bigger things like go on trips or go outside of the city. And some that don't really take advantage of that fundraiser just find things locally here that they can do as well to have that big impact. So, you know, the biggest stress, I think, is going back to that service. You know, like Cordell said earlier about, you know, he was just looking for that thing to give back. I mean, that's the biggest thing that we want our students to walk away with. And when they leave us, we want them to care about the people around them. We want them to care about their community because they live in it and they're now a part of it. And so how can they look around and look to see how can I make this place better? And so that's a big push that we have for this senior project week. And when they get back, they have passages, which is kind of their right to you know, here's my story, here's my journey. And part of that requirement of passages is to talk about their senior project and what they did and the impact that they had and what did they learn from it. And so it's a really great reflective piece to kind of end their time with us and move on to bigger and better things.
So the listeners weren't able to see the looks on your faces when he mentioned passages. So I don't know if those were looks of being excited or being a little nervous. Can you can someone explain what is passages and when is that happening for each of you? Cordell, you want to start?
Well, passages for us, we have – there's different passages at Harborside. There's eighth grade passage when you go out of the high school, sophomore passage when you move on to an upperclassman, and then senior passage when you're about to graduate.
The big one.
So actually, we have our senior passage next week.
Yeah.
We're just going to go over – our growth over high school, what our plans are for next year, what we did for our senior passage, show off some high-quality work that we did over the last few years, and then just kind of present that to our friends, family, and teachers to show them that we're ready to move on to the next step in our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that correct, Natalie and Kimmy?
Yes.
Do you have anything to add?
Yes. What's nerve-wracking is trying to, remember everything that had happened in the 4 years
of high school.
You don't want to miss anything.
Yeah. Something really cool is, from Nicaragua is actually, we took a ton of videos there, and I actually got to interview some locals. So for my passage, I'm actually making a documentary about our project, and we'll be showing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also do the This I Believe statement.
Mm-hmm.
which is pretty much where every student finds something which they believe very strongly about, because our senior expedition is take action. So take action in your community and what you believe in. So we all are required to create a video or a presentation about something that we truly believe in and want to make an impact with. So mm-hmm. that's really cool for me to like see all my friends really become passionate about something and then go watch it. So, yeah.
Passages is one of my favorite things. It's that time to sit there and just listen to them tell their story. A lot of times I leave in tears, or parents are in tears, or even the students are in tears. And so it's a really powerful moment yeah. for them at that time. So
I'm looking at my questions, and I think we've actually answered mm-hmm. some of these already.
Yep.
So I'm just going to stop and reintroduce, in case people have joined us just recently. This is Education Matters. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert. And if you are just joining us and would like to hear this entire discussion, you may access this program or any of our programs in the archives of our webpage at WGTD.org. There is an Education Matters page, and all of our shows are archived on the right side of that page. You may also join us for discussions at our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page if you are a Facebook person. My guests today are Harborside Academy Assistant Principal Trent Barnhart and Harborside Seniors Cordell Sulamoyo, Kimmy Lintz, and Natalie Pitts. And they are telling us about their senior project trips from which they just returned, what, Sunday? Saturday?
Yep. Yep. Sunday.
Yeah.
So you're all jet-lagged? No, not everybody.
Not too bad.
I would like to ask each of you, I'm going to start with Natalie this time, yeah. What kind of adversity did you face on your trip, and how did you overcome it?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Let's see. Well, I gotta think about that one for a little bit.
Does anyone else want to step in?
Yeah, you can step in.
I guess I'll go.
this is Cordell.
As far as like adversity goes, going into the trip, I didn't really know what to expect. I just kind of loaded a couple suitcases up with a whole bunch of soccer balls and grabbed my dad, got some plane tickets, and hopped on. So just kind of going into it, not expecting if they actually needed these things or if they wanted them in the first place. I was just kind of going off of what I saw and what I feel like they would want if I put myself in their shoes. So going over there and then going to the first orphanage, my dad's like, oh, you have to speak in front of all of them. I was like, what? So I had to get up and stand in front of 100 kids who didn't speak any English and give a speech in front of them and tell them I was there and why I had brought them soccer balls. I do this at each place, so I'd give them like 5 speeches to all these different orphanages. And after getting past that first one, I was kind of like, okay, I know I am here. I know what these kids need, and I'm here to provide them with these soccer balls so that they can enjoy their time, have a little bit of fun, and not have to worry about what they're going to have for dinner that night or if they're going to get any sleep, where they're going to be sleeping. Where they can just relax and take a couple hours to have some fun.
So since the children didn't understand English, did someone translate for you?
Some of them did understand English because they learned it through school. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I had my grandparents either translate for me or their like instructor there mm-hmm. had spoken both English and Chichewa, which is the language of Malawi, had translated as well.
Mm-hmm. So you probably didn't have on your list of why you wanted to go to enhance my public speaking skills, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
Anything to add, Kimmy or Natalie, now that you've had time to think about it?
Now I know what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Well, we didn't get to meet the families that we were building the houses for, which would have been cool. However, when we saw the finishing product of the house, it was really eye-opening knowing that we built a home for a family in need, and now they're going to be able to lead a safe and healthy life in their new home. So that was really eye-opening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, it was probably actually just working as a team, because on one of the last days that we were there, so Ometepe, it has 2 mountains on it, and one of them is actually an active volcano mm-hmm. called Concepcion. Mm-hmm. And so me and about four other kids, I think, hiked actually that volcano. And it was, you're hiking at like a 60-degree angle. So it was pretty intense. And I love hiking, so I've done a ton of that in the past. But there were students on it who, you know, hadn't hiked that much and stuff. And it was wet and rainy, and we were slipping and sliding. And, I mean, we were just stepping on, like, rotten bananas, and there was monkeys. And so it was just, I mean, it was an amazing hike to see. But it was learning that, okay, going slower and staying with the group is more important than one person making it to the top. Because not, like, if we had all gone at our own pace, you know, some kids would have raced ahead and some kids probably never would have made it to the top because, you know, we need to be together to help support each other and to encourage each other. And that was just, it was very eye-opening for me to be like, whoa, like, in this situation, you know, if you don't make it to the top, like, you have to. Like, there's no, you know, there's no escalator to take you back down. Like, we all had to stay together, and we had to help each other. And that was by, I mean, like, we switched water bottles out so, like, the stronger people could carry some of the more struggling kids' loads and stuff. And it was just, it was really amazing to be just in the bare nature and surrounding each other and just working together to finally get to the top and then just see, you know, this magnificent view of a volcano we just conquered. So,
wow. So one of the threads that seems to be running through these projects is actually to help people in need.
Yes.
That sounds right. So did having these experiences, has your view of poverty changed? I mean, we all can see, if we look hard enough, we can see poverty here in our own community. Yeah. But you got to see a whole different level, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who would like to go first about that question? Cordell, you want to start?
Sure. I guess going over there, every time I'd gone there previously, I'd just stay with my grandparents, and they have a nice house, and they have, like, servants who cook them food and stuff, and then I just did, like, the touristy stuff, so I went on a safari with some other Americans and saw the lions and the elephants and never really thought about there's actually people living here that are sleeping on the roads and have holes in their roofs of their, like, put-together huts, and they can't afford anything. They're going car to car trying to sell like mops or like field mice or just simply begging for a little bit of something. And going over there, like, we had exchanged like some US money, probably like brought like $300 US over there, and we exchanged it for Malawian kwacha, which is the currency. And for every kwacha or every US dollar, it was 675 kwacha.
Oh my gosh.
And people are on the streets like begging for like 200 kwacha or something that they could buy a little bit of food with just to get by for the day. And we're here with thousands and thousands of kwacha, like, not thinking $300 is a whole lot here. But over there, that can, like, last you a year for, like, food, power, place to sleep, and then supply your family with food as well. So it's just kind of eye-opening of how people over there make their living on begging and selling these objects that we would never have use for over here. And over here, we're complaining that $300 isn't enough money for anything.
Also, with my experience, I've realized that everyday people, they can look like us and they talk like us, but they can also be struggling as well. You never know what a person's story is.
I guess going into the trip, I always thought that poverty just meant, you know, no money or less money. But actually, after going on this trip, my point of view has completely changed, because I saw families there who literally had nothing, but they didn't seem poor because like, just the community there was amazing. Everyone was just so together, and they helped each other out. And I walked up to a park once, and they were playing baseball, like, I don't know, 20 kids. And they just, I didn't know what they were saying. They didn't know what I was saying, but they just threw me a ball, and I just played baseball with them. Like, they were so welcoming and just so open that I don't think they were impoverished. In many ways, I think that actually there's some people in the U.S. who, in my opinion, suffer from poverty from not having that love and communionship that I saw in Nicaragua, if that makes any sense.
It just goes to show where true happiness comes from. It's not the things you buy.
It's not always money.
It's the people you're around.
So this is a question I asked your principal to offer some questions, and Mr. Haithcock wants me to ask, and I think this is a great question. After this experience, do you believe you have a role in the world's problems?
Oh, my goodness.
That's some deep questions.
Super deep.
Those last ones were actually from him, too. I just thought I had a credit him for this.
Do I believe I have a role? Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah. I think throughout our 4 years at Harborside, we've been exposed to how important it is to have great character.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's really motivated us to want to help others. And what are you thinking?
Yeah, no. I definitely think we do, hands down, because I mean it's the same as working in a group project, because if everyone sits there and is lazy, then we're all gonna get F's, and the world can't just sit around and wish for something. And I'm not super into politics or anything, but I tend to see a lot of the people complaining, but then nothing happens. And I feel like if you want to complain about something, then you need to do something about it, And that's, again, going back to our take action, because if I don't choose to stand up for someone that can't stand up for themselves, then who else will,
I feel like over the past 4 years at Harborside, I feel like they're building leaders, but in the right way. We all come in as freshmen. We don't know what's going on. Everyone's dressed up with so much makeup on and their most expensive outfits, thinking high school is this huge thing.
And we're lost.
And the first day of school of freshman year, they're like, let's go outside to the park. We're going to go and do a scavenger hunt. And we're like, what? Where's the textbooks? Where's the tests, the studying, homework? We didn't have any of that the first day of school. We literally spent the entire first day getting to know each other.
Getting sweaty.
playing games, team building activities at the park, to get to know our classmates who we're going to be spending the next 4 years with. I mean, really building like a family feel, less than a school feel.
Yeah.
So I feel like over the last 4 years, building those leaders, leading up to the senior project, I feel like that's just like the peak. The past 4 years, we've just been building up to that. And then after that, you kind of realize that you can do more than you can help out the world. You can go and help make somebody's day. You can go out in the community and pick up a piece of trash, and that's just going to make it the day just that much better. That's what Harborside kind of like molded all of us into, I believe. Yeah.
And you mentioned before that oftentimes when you're driving, you see us walking down the road. And I have friends tell me, like, what are you guys doing? That's not school. But everything that we do outside in the community, it always has an educational purpose. We're always doing something for a reason. It's not like we're just going out and having fun all the time. Everything has a purpose. And
And I mean, just being honest, like, I've learned way more about success from actually doing it, from actually experiencing trial, from actually experiencing being a leader, rather than knowing every single equation in my calculus class. I'm in calc, and so we have like 2 weeks of school where kids are learning math and we're not, because we're out doing these senior projects and these camping trips. And I guess that might put us behind a little bit academically, but in my opinion, it makes up for it so much more by doing this real life hands-on experiences in becoming leaders.
You almost already answered my next question, but so sometimes when people hear about this expeditionary learning for the first time and they think, well, but they're not taking AP courses or they're not doing this or that. I know you have AP courses too. Do you feel that you're prepared for college? I mean, did you have lots of success when you were applying? Did you have to explain this to the admissions people?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're very prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, everything that we've done has a purpose. So if we go out in the community afterwards, we usually have to write something. We're always writing.
reflecting.
I mean, Harborside is a college preparatory school, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like
yes. So, I just because we're not in the classroom all the time, I don't think it means that we're not, you know, prepared for college. I think we're just as prepared for college as any other high school.
One of the things that, like, Harborside goes by is classrooms don't always need walls. They can be out in the community, going out and doing hands-on learning, which is one of the reasons I came to Harborside. Was Mr. H came to our Mahone Middle School and said, first thing he says, classrooms don't always have walls. I saw pictures of kids at, like, a barn doing, like, learning in a barn somewhere. They were out in, like, Chicago doing water testing or Petrifying Springs doing water testing. Just going out in the community actually doing things instead of sitting in a classroom looking at a projector and watching other people do things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the college I'm going to, Berry College, is actually super into this type of stuff as well, at the expeditionary learning stuff. And I actually applied to, like, a very esteemed, like, leadership fellowship where you get, I mean, a lot of money to go to college. And then you also, you become leaders of the campus, and that's what they do and put you in training. And I think it was, like, 300 some kids applied, 80 got invited down to interview, and then actually, like, 16 of us actually got it. And I was really amazed that I did get it, but when I went to go interview, they asked me, they're like, how have you done, like, so much in high school? Like, how have you done all this stuff? And it's because Harborside gave me the chance to do it. They don't make me sit in school all day, you know. They let me go out. They let me get these experiences. But then they also have excellent teachers where, you know, I have maintained an incredible grade point average and still get, you know, pass all the AP tests I take. And it's just, it's amazing how you go to colleges, and if you actually talk to the professors there, they are so amazed by the amount of community service hours you have, mm-hmm. by the leadership roles you've already expressed. Because when applying for stuff, you're like, oh, yeah, I've already led group discussions. I've led a community meeting in front of 600 children. You know, I've already done all this stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think Harborside hasn't just given us a meaningful education, but it's also gotten us very involved, where we can put down in our applications everything we've done and all the community service we've done. And I don't know, there's...
Yeah, just like sitting here now and thinking back on it, we've done so much in high school. Like, if we just, like, took a second and wrote it down, like, everything we've done on a piece of paper, we'd probably have, like,
a
notebook full.
I know. I think I have, like, over 700 community service hours.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not uncommon. Like, that's a pretty normal thing.
I have a question for Mr. Barnhart. So, as I understand, this is the only official expeditionary learning school in the whole Midwest. Is that correct?
As far as high school, 6 through 12, we are the only one in the Midwest, correct.
But it's much more common on the East Coast. So what is up with that? Why, you know, I'm sure the people who are listening to this are sort of going, wow, what, you know, why, how come we haven't heard of this before? Or why aren't there more of these kinds of schools? And I'm just curious, do you have any idea?
Yeah, I mean, it's making its way this way. EL education was developed through Outward Bound, and created at Harvard University, and so because it's there and is stationed in New York, that's where, you know, it kind of sprouted on that East Coast, and so a lot of schools are using that EL model along the East Coast, on the West Coast, and are, you know, getting into that Midwest area, and so. It's definitely growing. You know, Harborside has become a EL mentor school. We are one of 12 in the nation that is an EL mentor school. So we help assist all those schools that are looking to become EL, to help assist them in any ways, let them know the struggles we went through when we started here in Kenosha, and guide them along their path to hopefully be a great school as well. It's definitely a development, but we feel really strongly about this is the right type of education our students need. Mm-hmm. I mean, I enjoyed sitting back just listening to them. Mr. H and I always joke about when we do presentations about Harborside, and we just let the students talk because they can describe it way better than we ever can. And it's very true based on what they're saying. And it's just, you know, I sit here and I'm just so proud for everything that they're talking about because, you know, it's really, we allow the platform for them, but they allow us to do that because if it wasn't for our students buying into our vision and our parents buying into the vision and our community buying into this vision, it really never would have happened. And so we're just thankful that we're allowed to do what we do because we feel it's the right path in terms of where education should go.
You know, I just realized that we never said at the top of the show, maybe there are some people who don't know that Harborside Academy is a Kenosha Unified School District public school.
It is.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, but it is a school where you have to choose to go there. So can
Correct.
You explain, just in case people don't know, how do students end up at Harborside?
Yep. So we are a part of Kenosha Public School District, and so we are a public charter school. What that basically means is in order to be accepted at Harborside, we have a lottery system. And so we go around and we recruit to all the elementary or middle schools, depending on where they come in at for sixth grade or ninth grade. And we kind of tell them about Harborside and what we're all about. And then they get the choice of whether or not they would like to attend Harborside. And they enter in that lottery system, and it's a completely random draw. We want Harborside to be like Kenosha, be that population of Kenosha. We're not selecting our students. We have basically balanced just like the rest of Kenosha, just at a smaller atmosphere. But if their name is drawn, then they get a letter saying that they've been accepted to Harborside, and then they agree or not to attend either starting at that sixth grade mm-hmm. or ninth grade level.
And those applications go in January?
Yes. Okay. So students have those options to select their schools in January. And mm-hmm. then towards the end of that month is when our lottery system kicks in and families are notified about the beginning of February.
Okay. We have just enough time to ask the students sort of a final word. Mm-hmm. So what do you think you will take from your senior projects into your future in college work and beyond? You know, what's sort of the big lesson that you got last week and in preparing for last week?
I guess I'll start. just taking away from my senior project and going and seeing the kids' faces and even like the grown-ups who worked there, they're just so shocked that somebody had come over here to donate these balls and that someone actually like knew they were there. So it's like kind of taking away from it, going into the future, just like overcoming adversity and then not really judging like a book by its cover. I know a lot of people, you say Africa and immediately they think of like giraffes or lions. They don't know about the people there or what they go through. They don't all live in grass huts. They actually have houses and cities and cars and stuff. They're just not as developed as we are here. Just a lot of poverty and people trying to make it, make better lives for themselves. So it's like going off of that, just going in the future, accepting everybody, not judging a book by its cover, and knowing that what I did back in Africa last month was just the beginning. Not just say it's a one-and-done thing, but continuing with that, and maybe not in Africa, or maybe just here in Kenosha, going out and finding who needs help and doing my part to help them out.
Thank you.
Yeah. I guess I would say what I've taken from my senior project is that true happiness really comes from when you know you're able to make an impact and help others. And no matter how hard you're working, it's up to you to choose to have a positive attitude, and with that you're able to enjoy every day of your life if you're able to have a positive attitude. And
I definitely agree with Natalie. That's awesome. But I also really got to see the importance of actually just giving your time to someone, you know, because you can always go on Facebook and like a post, you know, about support, you know, this, support that. And, you know, sending $5 in is amazing, too. But that doesn't change anything. That doesn't make anything sustainable, you know. That doesn't impact a person's life so much that, you know, when you leave, you're crying because you've just seen them change so much. And just going down, and we also worked with orphanages there and stuff, and just, I guess, seeing how much me spending 2 hours with, you know, this little girl, like 2 hours a day, could just completely change her life, because just making friends and showing her that, you know, someone really loves her. And even if someone at home doesn't, at least for, you know, a week of time, she felt loved and cared for. And to me, that's so much more important than her having a new shirt, you know. So that's definitely inspired me to, in college, apply that and travel abroad and stuff.
Wow. Well, that is really an amazing way to end this program.